go to the negative position that we
what
get.
What kind of interest are you paying when this happens to the vets and the highway and
it was in the month of December, the average was 13.6. In the month of January, it's about, in that period of time, it was, say, 13.6.
I read a figure somewhere where the total at some point was $187,000 in interest paid out.
That's correct.
It was that.
It's kind of a reverse sort of thing. We put all interest into the general fund, and then we transfer out to those people that participate in the pool. And the effect was that we would have transferred out more than we transferred in over that particular period of time.
Okay. Say this again, so I'm sure I'm hearing squarely on this. Even when we borrow the money from ourselves, from the other sources, we pay interest, whatever the going rate is.
That's right. Whatever that total pool of money is earning at that particular time.
Senator Trull?
Are all the other accounts represented in the short-term fund or the short-term fund? Or are there other sources?
There are no other sources of cash. This is the daily operating funds of the state treasury. The other point I guess I wanted to make about the balances was this one of trying to isolate the one piece of the pie over there, the one with the X, which again is this a biennium's revenue versus expenditure. That if you isolate the negative figures that are involved in a biennial stream, and you go back to the Executive Department prepared reports, this general fund cash position report, which prepared each month, you'd find that a year ago, in 79, at the end of November, there was a $100 million negative position. That is current revenues versus expenditures in this biennium. It stayed negative from December on through March, from $50 to $60 million negative. Finally went positive in April to about $60 million. This year, you'll find those numbers will be substantially worse. That is, last year, at the end of October, there was a positive $40 million figure. This year, I think Neil's report just prepared for the end of October is about a negative $38 million figure. So we're down $80 million from where we were a year ago. And at the end of November, you'll probably see something approaching a $200 million deficit for the biennium if you isolate simply the revenues versus expenditures of 79-81. But as I say, on a total cash basis, what finally is reflected in the records are these figures of an average of $20 million and an absolute bottom point of $40 million. But I guess we feel it's important to isolate the biennium and the revenues versus expenditures and to match those up. And to do that, you're talking about substantial dollar shifts in the range of $100 to $200 million figures.
It seemed like during the special session we talked about this with you that there appeared at that time to be no problem. Were these things occurring? You just consider these not to be a specific of a magnitude that would create a problem?
Well, as I recall, I think the only involvement I had at that time had to do with estimated tax. Mm-hmm. And the question was whether one payment versus it's a timing thing, and I think my response had to do with the fact that our cash flow problem was in the fall, and I guess tried to say that this was where the problem was in the fall, and whether we got an estimated payment on a quarterly basis of $10 or $20 million wasn't going to make a lot of difference as far as this, considering the magnitude of the cash flow problem.
Because at that time we were already, when comparing revenues with expenditures, back in 79 we were under.
Yeah.
Senator Trump.
Are we likely to turn the problem around by the end of the fiscal year and have the balance?
I don't know that I can respond to that. The best information I can give you is that looking at our records of all funds and accounts together, through the month of January, we were running about $100 million less than we were a year ago. February 13th, last Friday, compared to February 13th a year ago, is down $138 million. Now, I don't know exactly what that means. Except that a year ago, the general fund had a positive balance of about $90 million, and this year it has a negative balance of $70 million, just looking at that one particular account. And I don't know if that's just a reflection of the, you know, what's already anticipated of the decreased revenues, or I guess I just, I can't tell you for sure, except what the numbers show. Pardon me?
Are we allowed to end the fiscal year with a deficit in the general fund?
I don't know if I can respond to that. I would assume that probably shouldn't or can't. Physically you could, but
Mr. Chairman, it seems to me that what the Constitution says is that you cannot budget a deficit. If the estimated revenues are not there that you anticipated, I don't think there's anything that could be done about it. A very prudent individual would not budget it or raise revenues just for the fun of it year after year after year, a one-time deficit because estimated revenues did not appear. I don't think that that would be unconstitutional.
Senator Drewston?
Roughly how many accounts are in all others?
Well, I'd probably put it in the 100 to 120 range.
One other question. I suppose the ideal way to solve this would be one way that would never be accomplished, and that's during good times, just budget for tax for a surplus account to take care of the ups and downs of the cash flow, wouldn't it?
That's a possibility. I'm not sure when
I'm not
see that time.
But it seems to me it would be one way of solving.
That's true. I guess what we see is just a general tightening of the overall cash situation and wanting to, you know, be here now to say we think you ought to look at the general fund as a segment for the biennium and get the pieces of that together without regard to these other funds which happen to be available but which are not guaranteed to be there.
Sir, today.
What do you think about setting up a procedure for impoundment on a quarterly basis? You start to see just
impoundment in what?
Well,
sense?
When we start to see these balance, these some type of a balance, a negative balance, we start some type of impoundment procedures, automatic impoundment procedure. Make doubly sure the next quarter round we're going to reflect it. Some adjustment on current revenues.
Speaking of impounding appropriations.
Yeah. What else control do we have? Who the hell's in charge of this place? Do you follow me?
Yeah.
We appropriate. wait just a minute. I'll ask you in a minute. We appropriate. Base it upon a revenue estimate. I'm not sure your off-the-cuff legal opinion is all that good, really. We had a little problem in Marion County, but we did both. We appropriated what have you. There was some legal question over that, I can assure you, with the banks and with the constitutional lawyers. If we start to see our revenues decreasing, if we start to see, in effect, where we're getting into a negative balance, why couldn't there be an automatic trigger for impoundment?
I personally don't know
the reason. Let me ask an accountant, as a treasurer's office, since you're telling us you're prudent people, I listened to you last night for 4 hours, wouldn't that be prudent on our part?
I would assume it would be.
All right,
there's nothing to prevent that from our standpoint.
Rick, what's your big hang up on that?
Mr. Chairman, I have no hang up at all. There is in law now a process to do that. It's called the allotment control.
We've got the allotment control, but it doesn't address a dramatic change. I think you are up to a certain percentage, as I recall. Is it 3 to 5%? I can't help you.
No, sir. It's not founded in any kind of percentage.
There is no.
It says the governor's revenue projections are less than the approved expenditure program, the governor must exercise allotment control up to balance the budget. The hitch in that is the largest portion of the budget is not subject to allotment control. That's basic school support.
Okay. So if we were really gonna attack this whole thing, we would apply the allotment control and put some trigger on a quarterly basis. And if we wanted to make it really effective, we'd say you will. Because he has discretionary. He took the position he was going to call the legislature in simply because during the special, he didn't want to go through that without some legislative review, I think was the decision. why we came here, isn't it?
Well, Mr. Chairman, Senator Dayton, the first shot, the first $52 million shortfall, the governor said, I'm going to shoulder the load myself.
Okay.
And then it later became clear that he...
Much bigger.
That he wanted to involve the legislature.
And that allotment control must be across the board, isn't that correct?
Yes, sir.
Except for Basie School. And property tax relief?
Property tax relief is included in the allotment system, we believe. The reason that Delaney is not real sharp on that is because the treasurer and secretary of state, I think, resailed from the allotment.
And legislative and judicial.
Well, I guess if I could just follow this a minute more on the trigger. I knew there was a trigger on that, but I didn't believe that there was an absolute duty on either. Could the emergency board respond to that if the executive didn't?
I don't think that the emergency board would be involved in that, Mr. Chairman.
So right, they couldn't respond. If he failed to act, then we would just be there unless we called ourselves. The only mechanism we have would be to call ourselves into session if we saw a rolling up. Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Hanlon.
Chairman, what is the device that exempts the basic school support from the governor's allotment ability?
Statute.
Said that that's what we want, nothing more than that.
Yeah.
One other question, Mr. Chairman. Were you going to respond, Ray?
Well, Mr. Chairman, Senator Hanlon, I think that the statute is not crystal clear on the exemption of basic school support, but an attorney general's opinion dating back a long time ago addressed the question specifically and said it was exempt. And I think we've gone on the strength of that for these many years.
I guess that leads to a question, Mr. Chairman. If we're facing potential deficit in the future, should we reconsider that? I know the political implications of it, but there may be a time when a slight adjustment in the basic school support fund would enable the governor to solve the problem rather equitably rather than call a special session.
Yeah, usually I would think if he dealt in that area, the formula problem would then arise to the point where we would have to readjust the formula without having it skewed effects and hitting a few districts inordinate.
I think that's part of the reason.
And that's probably why it should be held exempt. We would probably want it to be exempt because then the governor could act in case of those slight emergencies without causing those kinds of devastating problems on individual districts. So I don't think we would want to, if anything, we might want to clarify its exemption so that in the case of a slight deficit, he could act or she could act without calling a special session.
Oh, we actually had to deal with that last special session.
Mm-hmm. Sure, that's...
Yes.
Yeah. Could I speak to terminology for just a minute, if I could?
One thing I'd like to point out, that we're talking about deficit, but if we get all the estimated revenues at June 30th, it's not a deficit. If we don't have the cash back here to spend, it's a cash flow problem. Mm-hmm. But you can go clear up to June 30th to reach your estimated revenues. So I don't know.
Yeah,
why.
I think the opinion we got was that there's no assurance that on June 30th there will be the revenue.
Well, that may be, but I just want to talk about the term deficit when we're talking about cash flow.
See, in normal economic conditions, even back before we had this escalation in inflation and the economy was hotter than a pistol, back in the 60s, we had exactly that, where there were times where certain allotment controls were affected and they were effective and they held us into a positive position. I guess what I'm concerned about right now is that maybe we should examine the allotment system, how it applies to what, and how the priorities should be allocated, and at what point should we automatically be called in here, not just wait. And I think that's what concerns me more than anything.
Mr. Chairman, there was one other thing I wanted to do also, just to put some figures on here. Using Gary's last example on February 13th, the suspense deposit and checkings totaled $207 million. There was $117 million in the receded self-sustaining accounts, which means that this was a $193 million deficit, to put it in perspective.
Senator Trimson.
Just another I guess, horrendous thing. Could your cash flow could really be affected, for instance, if the legislature would increase basic school support to say 60%, then you really have a problem, wouldn't you? In other words, the higher we go with basic school support, the more we have a problem.
Particularly retaining it on a quarterly basis.
Okay, Harry, the, well, both of you, some of the revenue that's projected to come in next biennium that we're relying upon in making this budget is interest income. For example, I think the governor assumed in his tax package that the actually increasing taxes $137 million, and then the interest earned on that would be $6 million, making it a net gain of $241 million. And then other interest income, yes, Mr. Eggers probably takes that into consideration. Has this problem been relayed to the people making those projections to the point they have been taken into consideration, the drop in that revenue?
Yes, the cash flow reports go to Paul Egger monthly. He has been in our meetings. We've discussed this at great lengths.
Do you know whether he adjusted those earnings downward in the next biennium from an original estimate of any kind?
I could not speak to that, Mr. Chairman.
I don't know that either. We've had some just initial discussions about the estimate itself, and in fact, we're just trying to do some computations about what kind of balance it would require to produce those earnings, and using a figure of 12% for the biennium, which is reasonably generous, it appeared to take something like $230 to $250 million as an average balance. Based on our current experience, I would doubt that we'll see those kind of balances available in the biennium upcoming.
So that means those revenue figures then are shaky?
For interest.
And how much interest earnings were in that budget, do you know?
I don't have that.
Anybody know?
Rex?
69.
Senator Trump.
Can you see any way we could change the distribution of payments so as not to create real hardship on school districts, let's say, and yet to have a better cash flow?
My suggestion, Mr. Chairman, was rather than do it quarterly, we could go to a monthly distribution starting with August 15th rather than a quarterly distribution on August 15th. That certainly has an impact on the school district.
Would it have an unbearable impact, or would it be worth the switch, I'd say?
I think it would depend on the school district as to what it did to them. I don't think I could make a...
What would it do for the general fund if you could spread it out that way? What would happen?
We'd have two-thirds of the distribution for investment for 60 days and another third for another 30 days, just as a general statement.
So earn more.
Earn more, and it would spread that.
It would contribute to it. I would say, based on the numbers we're seeing, as I say, probably this, when we get a report at the end of November, we're going to be looking at something like a $200 million negative figure for the biennium. That if you're going to overcome, if it's your wish to overcome that $200 million in total, and for instance, pay no regard to the $115, $120 million that's always sitting there in self-sustaining accounts, then you've got to find $200 million to shift somehow. I guess I think the only place that is in property tax relief, not in a couple of months of basic school support or anything else. It's a sizable problem if you want to go all the way and, as I say, isolate the biennium and match revenues and expenditures. You've got a sizable problem, number to deal with.
Well, assuming there's a $200 million difference in the revenues and expenditures, again, that does not say there's going to be a deficit at the end of the biennium.
No, not at all.
It means that there will be a loss of earnings.
That's correct.
And maybe
some of that may be anticipated. Again, I couldn't say.
And maybe a substantial loss of earnings.
That's correct.
And what would, how much is the court roughly 700 and, well, you're distributing $359 million and $391 million a year in basic?
That's the two fiscal year distributions for basic.
So a fourth of that, so you're talking about 100 and some million, 114 or 115 million. And so we would keep a third of that, two-thirds of it is here. That would have a fairly good impact, wouldn't it, for the state?
It would be interest earnings that I could appreciate personally, yes.
Yeah. I wonder, Rick, don't hurt us with the facts.
He's looking them all up.
Did you have something?
No, sir, I'm up on another trip.
Oh, good.
I give another chapter, don't you?
Try to find a constitutional provision that we can't do that. Well, perhaps one of the things we should do is to see to what extent school districts budget for interest earnings versus to what extent do they simply let them accumulate for cash carryovers?
Probably to the last eyelash.
Yeah, I would imagine they do. In fact, I'm sure they do.
As an example, I think there's quite a few of them that participate in the local government investment pool. So that the minute that we write the warrant, it jumps right into the pool.
We had a few that did that in Marion County. Yes, with great deep regret that we had.
Maybe we better keep it.
Sure. Senator
Trump. One question. You mentioned that we could do something with the property tax relief fund. Did you mean bail out the general fund with that money?
I'm thinking, again, of simply the timing of the payment to the counties that's currently made November 15th of some, what's the figure, 200?
270 million or something like that.
Pretty big number.
That's already made, right?
That's right. That has been made. I'm not talking about what it would do.
Talking about some different distribution.
In the future distribution formula.
Make it October 15th before election.
No.
So much a month.
No, I think what he's really saying, if we allocated basic school and property tax relief on a piecemeal basis, yeah, and we put it out over there, there could be a more early way of handling
distribution.
This. And I'm not sure in these kind of times if that's the most unthinkable thought.
So in essence, the state would become a one-third, one-third, one-third payer. that would have a pretty sizable effect, however, on
interest earned.
Yes.
Yeah. But on a lot of these school districts, I've learned a lot from this Marion County pool, I'll assure you. And if you're really looking at basic school to pay current needs, then, you know, I suggest that maybe if we need the interest to try to keep that fund sound, there could be a persuasive argument, but
you one tough year of adjustment on some of them.
Oh yeah,
way to go on some of them.
We've got.
But you wouldn't have to do it in the first year of the biennium necessarily.
No,
you could start it in the second year.
Phase it into the second year to give them a year to budget.
Right.
It's just like this allotment procedure. I think the chairman's going to look at that. But the idea of establishing some principles of allotment, what the legislature does or what the executive does, would be rather interesting on how we control some of this, because hell, if revenues go down, if this is soft and the bottom falls out, you could be in some not little trouble, some major trouble with these programs.
Would you work with our staff in developing a list of options available to handle the problem?
Be happy to work.
And we'll simply try to look at it as a conglomerate of potential ideas. You might know more a little bit later as to the extent of the problem. And Senator Turner said.
Just quickly, Mr. Chairman, but I'd also just like to see some averages of interest earned by, say, some of the school districts on that money versus what the state is doing. Because I think we're probably in a better position.
You can use Marion County as an example.
You're doing great well. Typical or atypical?
Yeah.
Okay, other questions in the in regard to this. The state of Washington is having cash flow problems, I read. Are there similar or more drastic than ours?
Latest number I've seen is more drastic, I believe, but I don't know the situation for sure.
I haven't seen any figures.
Are other states having similar problems in these times that you're aware of?
I'm not aware of them. I couldn't answer that.
California. Rick, did you have anything to add? Did anybody else want to address this subject? Audience? If not, we'll be adjourned until tomorrow at 1:30. Maybe we could get some kind of a package.